Okay, so on May 3rd, I did two interviews for BBC Radio. And then on May 4th in the morning, I get a phone call that says, we're doing a thing about alcohol. Can you come on and talk with the presenter about how younger people are drinking less? And she said to me, they often talk about alcohol on this show. So I thought, okay. What I didn't know, of course, and can never perhaps know in advance, is what the presenter's history is with drinking and how he's going to feel about having somebody talk about this wolfy voice, especially once partway through this, he recognizes that he has that voice. It's a very entertaining interview because he's not expecting me to be how I am. I'm not expecting him to be how he is, and neither of us is backing down, but we're both doing it in a sort of funny, respectful, kind of tongue-in-cheek way. At the end of it, once they turn off my microphone, I didn't get to hear his last comment about inviting me to dinner. I hadn't heard that until afterwards when I heard the recording, because right at that second, when they turn off my microphone, the producer comes into my headphones and she says to me, that went really well. And I said, well, he's a good sport. And she said, no, really, it went well. Can we have you back? And I said, yes. And perhaps we could do a call-in show. Because I think that between this guy and me and a call-in show, it would be interesting to see who calls and who resonates with him and who resonates with me. Again, I don't usually get into conversations with people about whether or not they have a loud wolfy voice, but I think that a call-in show with the two of us would be interesting. It'd be good radio anyway. So let me know what you think. Try to see this with some sense of humor. When I listened to it afterwards, I have to tell you that it made me feel tense because I wasn't sure how that girl, me, was going to respond. When I was re-listening to it, it made me feel tense. But while I was recording it, I felt okay. So let me know what you think. Here we go.
If you have younger people in your family, maybe your son or your daughter or your grandson or your granddaughter, are they also kind of not interested in alcohol? Maybe their generation, they don't see alcohol as being a part and parcel of social life. Whereas certainly when I grew up, when I was in my early 20s, I mean, you couldn't socialize without alcohol. It was always built around having a booze up. Always having a bit, well, it still is, to be honest, for me. Belle Robertson is the author of the blog Tired of Thinking About Drinking. She's a sober coach. Good morning to you, Belle.
Good morning.
Good morning. Do these statistics surprise you?
Not so much. I'm mostly in contact, though, with people who want to be drinking less and who want to do a period of time without alcohol. So to be fair, the people who are contacting me are saying, alcohol is all around me. I'd like to figure out, how do I not drink, and what do I say to people, and how do I deal with my pushy mother-in-law, and how do I go to the pub and have a soda and participate in quiz night but not drink?
Well, it's perfectly possible. I've gone for periods of time where I'll give my liver a break, and I'll say, right, I'm going to have 2 weeks, I'm not going to drink any booze. And I'll have 2 weeks, but I still go to the pub and I have a Diet Coke or whatever. I still drink it. It's still fun, still nice. Right. It's just as nice as if you'd had a couple of pints.
Right. And I think what gets confused there is that what we want is a connection with other people, and what we want is socializing. But if you have two or three or four drinks, you're having a solitary experience. That's not a socializing experience. I mean, it really is an anesthetic, right? Like, the more you drink, the less you have control over what you say or do or how you walk or how you can drive. And I know that, like, it's like, oh, I want to go on the beach and I want to have this really fabulous vacation. But what you want is the experience of the beach and the vacation. It doesn't require alcohol. Alcohol is not required for that experience. And so if you would like to do 30, 60, 100 days without alcohol, you can attend all these events and booze is not required.
But that doesn't ring true when you talk about, I mean, let's take the holiday scenario.
Sure.
There is surely no greater pleasure in life than on a beautiful sunny evening, sitting in a restaurant with a beautiful setting, with nice warm air, and enjoying a beautiful meal with a gorgeous glass of wine, feeling as if you're just starting to get just a little bit squiffy. Surely there's no greater pleasure in life.
And I think the problem with squiffy, if I can assume that that means slightly buzzed.
A little bit drunk.
Right. And I think the problem is that we can never achieve that magic. We wait for it. We try to get it. Then we overdrink.
Oh,
then we don't
manage.
Have enough. Then we don't. Right.
What do you mean we can't achieve it?
The thing that we're looking for isn't in the alcohol.
It is.
The thing that,
well is. I speak from experience. It is.
And so then if that was the case, you would have one and then stop. Always.
Well, no, because one sometimes isn't enough to hit the spot.
Right. And then it wears off and then you need to have more and then you need to have another one. And so I'm certainly not here to convince you to do anything.
No.
I'm just here to support people.
You may have realized you've got a tough audience.
I'm okay with that. I'm here to support people who think that they're drinking too much and they'd like to do a period of time with no alcohol. And once they decide to do that, they find it's harder than they thought.
Yes.
It's easier to quit for 5 or 6 or 10 days. It's harder to do it for 30 or 60 or 90.
I'm sure it is. I mean,
because then you have to learn then how to like feel good without booze.
Yes.
Like who are
but,
you
I mean,
when
I,
you don't drink?
But I have friends who don't drink and their life is absolutely fulfilling and fun and they have a nice time, but they don't have as good a time as people who drink.
That's really spoken from somebody who...
Trust me, I've been at dinner parties before and everyone else is having a fabulous time. The laughter, the jokes, and then the one person not drinking because they got to drive, they're sitting there looking at their watch thinking, oh, I want to go home.
Well, you know what happens when people overdrink is they get really loud, they say the same thing over and over again, and they think they're hilarious and they're not.
Oh, God.
Maybe that rings true.
Oh.
I'm telling you,
well, everyone else always seems to be having a laugh.
Yeah, and
I mean, some people are very fun drunks.
Of course, and to be fair, when I had my large quantities of alcohol, I can agree with you. I really did think I was hilarious, and I thought I was having a kind of fun that I couldn't get anywhere else. I really did think that fun was in alcohol and not in connection with other people and not in... being able to wake up in the morning and not feel like...
So do we think that young people have just... they've kind of tweaked this then? Younger people, the younger generation, they don't need alcohol to have fun.
Well, I would say nobody needs alcohol to have fun. And if there's a trend in the younger generation...
There's a few of us on my team that are sticking our hands up as you say that.
Right? Who say?
Well, all
of
us.
They're sticking their hands up to say what?
Myself and my team, we're all a bit boozy, to be honest with you.
Right. And so then it's sort of threatening and intimidating to have somebody say, you know what, it's actually possible to have fun without alcohol. And first of all, you think it's not true. And then you, in your gut, you think, what would happen if I actually quit? And then you think, how would I actually quit for more than 5 or 6 hours or 5 or 6 days?
Yes.
And that's exactly what happened to me. I thought I would quit for a month. And then on day 9, I was panicked. Like, how am I supposed to cope with, like, life? Or how do you unwind? Or how do you feel better? Or how do you deal with celebration or grief without alcohol? I didn't realize that I use booze for everything. Right. Every emotion, happy or sad.
Well, thank you very much, Belle. You've certainly taken the shine off a pint of beer for me. It won't last long, though. Don't worry. It will soon.
You can email me anytime.
Good. Thank you very much. Belle Robertson, who's the author of the blog Tired of Thinking About Drinking. She's a sober coach. Note to self, next dinner party, don't invite Belle. Paul texts and says, good morning, JVS. The youth don't go to the pub, as they have no money to buy beer, and they don't want to get off their lazy backsides to earn any